Good evening. I'm glad everybody could be here for this awesome presentation. We've done a lot of presentations so far since we kicked off our new presentations campaign, but I have to tell you, this one is absolutely awesome. I know some people have played the bracket before, but you've never met the man behind the bracket. So tonight, I want to welcome Terrell Thompson, who is the author of the Accessible NCAA Tournament Bracket. And Terrell, I will turn the microphone over to you now, and welcome to BITS.
Great. Well, thank you. Thanks for that great introduction. And I actually appreciate starting a little late because I was myself trying to catch the end of the Big 12 tournament championship. That was Kansas and West Virginia. And a very hard fought battle, but Kansas pulled away at the very end there and won 81-70. So that was a nice kickoff to March Madness for me. As Earlene and I were getting to know each other yesterday, we discovered that we both are Purdue graduates. So I grew up in Indiana and went to Purdue. So first and foremost, a Big Ten guy and a Purdue guy. But after Purdue, I went to Kansas and lived in Lawrence for 12 years. And so then I became a Kansas fan. So I got Boilermakers, I got Jayhawks, became a follower of the Big 12 at that point. Left there and went to North Carolina. And I worked at North Carolina State, but lived halfway between Durham and Chapel Hill. And so I had that whole Duke, Carolina, NC State thing going on. And I'm not sure where my loyalties lie from that time living in the ACC country, but probably more with North Carolina than anybody else. And actually, when I left Kansas to go to North Carolina, that was about the same time that Roy Williams was leaving Kansas to go to North Carolina. So that was pretty easy to just kind of latch on to him and continue to be a fan of his. And then after some time in North Carolina, I eventually wound up in Washington State, which is where I am now, working for the University of Washington. Washington Huskies are not probably going to make the tournament this year. Got a new coach and a new system. But they actually did pretty well, despite that. What I do at the University of Washington and what I did at NC State and when I was working in Kansas has been technology accessibility. So that's, you know, my professional focus, web accessibility, software accessibility. My role at the University of Washington is to ensure to the extent possible that the technologies that we're using are accessible to students with disabilities as well as employees with disabilities. That I'm sure y'all are aware is an uphill battle. There are an incredible number of technologies. We actually are doing an inventory of our IT right now, and we're up to 900 products, and we're trying to gather information about the accessibility of all those and prioritize those. And for the highest priority products, the ones that affect the most people, we're going to be doing actual evaluations if we haven't already. And you're trying to figure out how much of what we have is accessible and how much needs to be fixed. And then, you know, come up with some strategies for fixing. So there's a lot of inaccessible stuff out there, a lot of inaccessible websites, web applications. And throughout that history, you know, every place that I mentioned, with the exception of Washington, probably is a basketball mecca. In Indiana, I grew up in a town that had 20,000 people and a high school field house that seats 10,000. And we would routinely fill that to capacity on a Friday night to watch high school basketball. So that's how crazy we all were, and most of Indiana, Earlene will testify probably, is as crazy about basketball as that. And so I had basketball in my blood, and that followed me to Kansas, which is where basketball was invented. And, you know, long history there of basketball. And, of course, in Carolina, a lot of basketball love there as well. So I've always had this love for basketball, and I've always had this love for March Madness. And I do web accessibility. And so it was kind of a natural merging of the two to wonder – you know, this bracket thing that I'm crazy about as a sighted person, every March when they release the tournament pairings, I like to look ahead and sort of think about who's going to be playing who down the road, you know, where did my favorite teams end up in the bracket and who are they going to be playing, not just in the first round, but, you know, potentially 2-3 rounds from now. Who's going to be meeting who in the Sweet 16 or in the Elite Eight, or, you know, who might play each other in the Final Four? And to do that, it is kind of a visual thing. Brackets are a very visual thing by default, that you've got lines that are drawn between games that sort of lead you on a path from round one to round two to the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight to the Final Four. And you can sort of follow those lines and figure out the path that any given team might follow in order to get to the championship. And it's a lot of fun to sort of speculate and follow that. But, you know, one typically does that visually. So as I looked at that, I found myself asking, well, you know, what is it? And it's represented visually, but really, what is it that is being represented? What's the data that's underneath all this? And how can that data be represented in a way that is accessible to somebody that can't see it? So part of the motivation was just that this is what I do. This is, you know, this is the work that I do. But also, every place that I've lived, the biggest basketball fans, and I'd say the biggest sports fans in general, were people that I worked with who had blindness or some other disability. They're really huge sports fans. And so I really wanted to try and solve this problem and work with them to see if that helped them to experience March Madness in a new way. And so that all started back in 2006 was when I did the first bracket. It was just a bracket at that time. It wasn't an interactive tournament pool, which it is today. But for the first few years, it was just taking this idea of a bracket, an informative bracket. So who's playing who, and trying to present it in a way that is accessible and that also looks like a bracket. And so I took HTML, the language of the web, and marked up the data, and then I took cascading style sheets, the language that helps us to add visual appearance to web content, and was able to stylize that data so that it looked like people expect a bracket to look. So this is an accessible bracket, but it really isn't intended, you know, just for screen reader users. Anybody can use it, and it looks just like every other bracket that's out there. So it really is the data, the structure that's under the hood that makes it unique and makes it accessible. And I'll talk in more detail about exactly what's going on there and, you know, how you use it. So the goal, though, all along was really to, you know, I was looking at all these other sites, ESPN and the NCAA site and CBS Sports and Fox Sports. They all have brackets, and they're all very interactive, and they've got tournament pools where you pick your teams and compete with other users, and you can find out about teams. So if you don't know, you know, much about these teams or much about basketball, you can still learn about the teams as you're filling your bracket out and figure out, you know, who's got the best record and, you know, who do you think has the best chance based on actual information. So there was just a lot more on these other sites than I could offer. And so in 2011, I tried a little something different, and that was to take the NCAA site and write a script. So I, I wrote a Grease Monkey script. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that, but Grease Monkey is a tool that allows you to write some JavaScript code. It works in Firefox. So somebody has to be using Firefox. They have to be running the Grease Monkey plugin, and then they have to be running my script. And what my script would do is take the NCAA bracket and recode it so that it had the accessibility information under the hood. So somebody could get the exact same accessible experience that I was offering on my own site, but you know, they could use the mainstream NCAA.com site. And I still, you know, ultimately would love to, for you know, screen reader users to go to NCAA or to ESPN or CBS Sports or wherever and use those brackets, use those sites. And I have reached out to all of those organizations trying to, you know, offer my help. Haven't gotten very far with that yet. And so year after year, I continue to offer this with the hope ultimately that, you know, the other sites will just be more accessible by default. And it won't have to be this separate thing, but it also is becoming a lot of fun. And you know, people are getting to know each other and, you know, having a good time competing with each other in this, you know, relatively small community. So I tried that one year in 2011, 2012, I went back to just doing my own thing, but also started adding features to my own site. And that included making it into an interactive tournament pool. So that started in 2012, where people can log in and they can then, you know, pick who they think are going to win all the games and then compare their bracket with other people's brackets. And then you know, get scored based on how well they do at picking teams. And then we have our own little competition. So that's been going on since 2012, and it's gotten bigger every year until last year we had 161 participants. So that's where we are now. And I've heard so many people talking about it this year that I suspect we might surpass that this year. So it's becoming a pretty big deal and is a lot of fun. So let me just back up a little bit and talk about how brackets work in general, and then I'll talk about how this bracket works. So the NCAA tournament has 5 or 6 rounds of games, depending on how you count them. And the winners of the early rounds advance to the next round. And in doing so, they fill a particular spot on the bracket. So visually, each spot on the bracket is represented by a box, essentially. And each box is empty until the teams are known. So right now, there are some brackets out there that are published that are just a bunch of lines and boxes. We don't know who's going to be playing yet. And after tomorrow, we'll know who is playing in the first round. So we'll have all 68 teams identified, and they will all occupy a spot on the bracket. But that's just the play-in games and then the first round of the tournament. And then the second round and the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8 and the Final Four are unknown, and they remain unknown until each next round is played, and then the winning teams advance to that next round. So throughout the tournament, you always have some empty boxes where we don't know who the team is that goes in that box. Now, visually, I mentioned lines. There are lines that are drawn between each of the boxes, so a sighted person can tell, you know, which game feeds into which next game, and they can then follow that path you know, throughout the tournament. So the challenge then, because this was presented so visually, was to come up with a data structure that represents all that data in a way that is meaningful. And it really wasn't that big of a challenge. It just required thinking about it that way. And the solution was headings and lists, as it often is with a lot of web accessibility problems. So the way headings are applied with the bracket is there are 4 regions. That's how the NCAA tournament is organized. And each region is tagged with an H2 heading. So you can use your screen reader's heading navigation functionality to jump between headings and kind of explore that way. So you have four regions. Those are all H2. Within each region, there are four rounds. So that's the first round, second round, Sweet 16, and Elite 8. And each round is tagged with an H3. So you go to the region you're interested in, you drill into that, looking at the H3 headings, and that takes you to different rounds. Within each round, there's a list of games, and the number of games in that list varies depending on which round it is. So there are 16 in the first round for any given region. And then second round, half the teams win in advance, and so then it becomes eight games, and then four games, and then two games. And then finally, there's just one game, which is the championship. So each of those lists of games contains a nested list, which just has two items in it, and that is the teams. So it's a list of two teams. And there's some additional data. There's the name of the team on that line, or as that list item. But there's also the seed of the team. So number one seeds are the teams that are the highest seed. They're expected to win, stand the greatest chance perhaps of winning. The 16 seeds are the lowest in the tournament, and no 16 seed has ever won in the opening round. But so that information is there. And then after the games are played, the points also appear on that line. So you can use the bracket to check on scores as well. And the scores appear live too. So as the games are played, then scores of the live games are updated on the fly. And you've got an option to toggle some of that off. So if you don't want the seeds and the scores, you just want to browse the teams, you can turn those off, those features off, and that way you get a little bit less noisy experience. So the empty information, I mentioned that all boxes are empty until we know which teams go in there. So that sort of poses a challenge if you're exploring future rounds. You want to see, who might play in the Sweet 16 and are kind of looking ahead. The way I tackled that is for the next round after the round where we know the teams. So for example, after tomorrow, we'll know the round one team. So those will all be populated with actual team names. But if you look ahead to round two, then what you're going to find is winner and then the name of the two teams that are playing each other in the feeder game that goes into that. So for example, winner Kansas versus Kentucky. That would be the kind of thing that would show up in the second round games. In the third round, that gets more complex because, the known teams are two rounds in the past. And so the information that those boxes are populated with goes something like winner East Region round one, game one versus winner East Region round one, game two. And when you read that, then you want to know who might potentially be playing in that game. You can go back to whatever game was referenced, to round one, game one, and round one, game two, and read those teams and say, this could be a matchup between this team and that team, and that would be a really good game. And so I try to provide as much information as possible in those future rounds so that you can be guided, all over the bracket and explore and sort of imagine the possibilities. Other features are during the tournament, the live games are each tagged as an ARIA live region. I don't want to get too technical, but some of you might be interested in such things. What that means essentially is that as the scores are updated, which they are once a minute, I've got a script that taps into a data source and then repopulates the bracket every minute during the tournament. And so any game where that's live and the score changes on the fly, then that is announced by screen readers. And so potentially you can have, during the tournament, four games going on at any given moment, particularly in the opening rounds. And so it is kind of nice, I find, if you're doing some other stuff and not watching a particular game, but just sort of, you know, want to stay abreast in the background of what's going on, then you can have the tournament site up and your screen reader will announce the scores as they change. So kind of giving you a little bit of play-by-play of four games simultaneously, so you can, you know, stay in touch with what's going on. There's also a schedule of upcoming games listed in chronological order and customizable to your time zone. And each of those games in the schedule is a link directly to that game on Westwood One. So you can just follow the link, go to the Westwood One site and listen to the broadcast. And it plays automatically on their site. So you don't have to mess with trying to find the buttons. I haven't checked it this year. I suspect it hasn't changed, but last year the buttons were not tagged well. So you had a lot of, you know, graphic 17, graphic 25, things that don't make a whole lot of sense. And I've reached out to them trying to get them to develop a more accessible interface. But until they do so, still you can link directly to the game from this bracket and it will automatically start playing. So that's kind of a nice feature as well. And then the tournament pool, it's just a form. So, and it's an accessible online form. So all you have to do is fill it out. So you log in, create an account if you haven't played before. If you have played before, you can just use your same credentials from last year. And if you don't remember your password, then you can retrieve that. So then you log in, you pick the teams you think will win in round one, you submit that page, that gives you a second page where the options are the teams that you chose from the previous page, and you just continue stepping through the tournament that way until finally you get to the championship game, which includes the two teams that you have picked to win all the way up to that point, and then you pick an ultimate winner. And anyone who plays can see anyone else's bracket. So that's kind of fun to see, you know, compare your picks with your friends' picks. And particularly as the tournament starts advancing, then we can see who really did a good job and has, like, picked everything right. Or, you know, those that didn't do so well. But particularly, I think it's fun to see, you know, those that emerge as the leaders in the tournament, to look and see who they picked ultimately and try to figure out, you know, who's going to win our little tournament pool. Once the tournament has started, then visually a bracket has a line, and this is kind of the traditional way of presenting brackets, that somebody has picked teams, and so all of those teams that you pick show up in the boxes for the different games. If you pick incorrectly, then a line is drawn through the team that you picked that actually lost, and so that indicates that was a wrong pick. So I've added some text behind the scenes that says either correct pick or wrong pick. So that gives you that indication of how you're doing, or, you know, how somebody else is doing, depending on whose bracket you're looking at. Right now, scores are updated at the end of each round. I'm considering updating them continually, so as each game ends, it could be updated. But right now, I have to go flip a switch at the end of each round, and then that updates the scores. And the scoring system, there are lots of different ways that brackets are scored, but the way that I use, which is a way that other pools that I have participated in uses, and I think is a good, fair, and fun way, is the seed of the winning team is multiplied times a multiplier, and the multiplier increases with each round. So in round one, the multiplier is just 1 point, and so essentially you get the number of points you get corresponds with the seed of the team you picked. So if you pick the number one seed to win, you get 1 point. And if you pick an upset, like the number 16 They're the 16-seeded team to win, which would be a very unsafe bet because they never have won. But if you pick one of those, then you'll get 16 points. So that rockets you up to the probably to the top with a pick like that. And then as each round, as we get deeper into the tournament, then the points, the multipliers get higher. They double. So in round two, it's a 2-point multiplier, and the Sweet 16 is a 4-point multiplier. So the system rewards the picking of underdogs. So if you pick a lower seeded team, then you're going to get more points for that. But the lower seeded teams statistically don't win as often. And so it is a gamble. So it doesn't reward indiscriminately underdog picks. It only rewards accurate underdog picks. And so I think that's pretty cool. If you latch on to an underdog and you're one of the few people that picked that team that actually goes deep into the tournament, then you get rewarded for that pick and get a lot of bonus points. So, the way that the results are presented is you've got your score against everybody else's. And so 161 people last year, you can check and see where you fit within that ranking, which is kind of cool. But we also have groups, and anyone who creates an account can create a group, or they can join a group, either one. And so if somebody wants to create a group, like say if you all want to create a group, then you could create a group, give it a unique name, give it a unique password, and then just share that amongst yourselves. And then anybody who has that username or that group name and password can join the group. And what that allows you to do is review your standing within your group in addition to reviewing your standing within the larger pool. And so you may be, 75th overall, and you may be number one in your smaller group. So that, it's just kind of a fun way of, comparing your picks with your closest friends' picks and members of your group's picks. And you can join as many groups as you have access to. So some people like to participate in lots of different groups or have lots of different connections. And there are a lot of different groups that are forming. I know there's several chapters of the NFB that has groups. The American Publishing House for the Blind had said they were going to create a group this year, I think. The Blind Cafe, I spoke with them earlier today. They're going to create a group. So that's kind of a fun thing. The groups are a way to keep it sort of smaller and more intimate, but you can still compare how you're doing with everybody else too, which is fun. So I think that's all I have to say other than where to find all this. It's at my website, which is my name, terrellthompson.com, and then /NCAA on the end of it. And it right now it's dormant. It remains dormant all year until the tournament picks are announced, and that happens tomorrow, 3:00 Pacific, I think 6:00 Eastern. They announced the selections, and then it takes me a couple hours after that to set things up. So late tomorrow night or Monday morning, the bracket will be live and ready for people to start making their picks. So I guess I'll just open it up for any questions that you have or whatever you'd like to say.
I think that show is 5:00 tomorrow, Terrell, the selection show.
5:00, it's 5:00 Central.
Five Central.
Oh, okay.
Is there any money involved? Do you have to put any money like is it like a betting thing or no? It's just a fun.
Yep, just bragging rights. Some of the groups, actually, I know the NFB, the Jayhawk chapter of the NFB used it as a fundraiser. So they actually did, to join their group, they had people put in some money, and then there was a prize at the end. But mostly that was a fundraiser for their chapter.
Well, Terrell, this is Ray Campbell, and
I just want to say thank you to you for all the work you've done. I've played it the last couple of years, as you know, and we don't have, Illinois is not going to be in, Wisconsin's not going to be in this year, so I got to figure out who I'm going to root for this year, but we've both really enjoyed, we've really enjoyed playing it, and we've played the ESPN one. Our nephew usually sets up a challenge on the ESPN one, so we played that one, and we played yours, and yours is a heck of a lot easier to use.
Yeah.
Boy, is it ever.
It's kind of fun if you can play the ESPN one to be able to say you're in 1,000,000th place.
Yeah. It's it's workable. I mean, it's workable. You just have to kind of know what you're doing with it a little bit, but
using an accessible bracket's a lot easier.
And I think what's so cool is it makes it, you know, I've always enjoyed watching the tournament personally, but it just makes it more fun, and it makes it more, you take more interest in it, and you kind of got a little something on the line.
Can you give us the complete spelling? I mean, it's on the site.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can access the chat. I know that's technically accessible, but I don't know how easy it is to get into. I'll paste it to
Carol,
and read it out.
Carol, yep. I on the presentation page for the accessible bracket, I do have the link for the bracket and for the pool and for the website. So you can access those pages. If you go to the website, thebits-acb.org, and under the heading Upcoming Presentations, and I know tomorrow it'll be Presentations You Have Missed, but if you select the March Madness NCAA Tournament Bracket, you select that page, those links will be there.
Okay.
Okay, it'll take you to the bracket. I guess you'd want the bracket first, and then you'd go to the so on and so forth.
Right, and if I have missed a link, like, for instance, if you have not logged in before, you may need to create a login, but I'll make sure that those links are on our website.
And I just pasted it into Zoom as well, so it is there in the chat if you can access that. It's terrellthompson.com. Terrell is T-E-R-R-I-L-L, and then /NCAA. And you can also search for, just do a Google search for accessible NCAA bracket, and it'll be the first thing that pops up.
Wow. Okay.
You don't have it available as either an iPhone or an Android app right now, do you?
Not as an app. It is mobile friendly though. You should be able to use it. You can fill out the bracket. It actually might even be easier to do that on an iPhone.
So, Terrell, I have one question. Well, I may have more, but I'll only ask a few because this night is for everybody else to ask questions, because I got to cheat. I got to ask all my questions yesterday. But one question, okay, so I don't know what people do when they're getting ready for the bracket announcement. I know myself, pizza is my favorite basketball food, so traditionally I get a pizza and I sit down in front of the TV, and CBS used to do a better job of announcing the teams, but now it isn't quite as good. They just show a lot, and you're lucky if you get the actual bracket announced team by team. So I'm kind of migrating over to radio. But I typically get my favorite pizza, and I'll sit there with my TV or my radio and have the pizza with the bracket. So what do you do when Selection Sunday begins? What do you do?
Well, I've got work to do now. I always watch the selection show with my laptop. and start.
I'm guessing he's not drinking a whole lot.
See, he's got to load. He's got to load the data. So I mean, that's.
Oh, I know, but I want to hear him explain this.
Yeah, well, there's a whole process, and I actually got smart eventually and documented it because I can never remember from year to year. You know, this sits dormant for a year, and then I have to dust it off and try to remember how to set this thing up again. So finally, a couple years ago, wrote out all the steps. So I've got a cheat sheet, how to set up the bracket, and I just go through and follow those steps. So there is a little bit of manual data entry that has to happen, and I've got to make sure I do have some data sources that I'm drawing from, but I've got to make sure those still work and haven't changed over the last year. So I get kind of everything entered, and then it also is dependent on teams being recognizable. And if there's a new team in the tournament that's never been there before or hasn't been since 2012, then I may have to do some tweaking of the spelling and, you know, make sure that is recognized. I think that's going to be true this year, actually. A lot of the teams that
our Loyola Ramblers from Chicago are going to be in there. So, and they haven't been since 85. So that's
yeah. So cool. That'll be new. Yeah.
So now when you put the teams in, you don't put like, let's say Kansas with their win lose, in there.
Actually, that's something I didn't mention. When you're filling out the bracket, you have an option. This is another thing you can toggle off if it's distracting, but if you want it, there is a button on the form for each game that allows you to pull up a dialogue that tells you more information about those two teams. So if you're a person that really doesn't follow basketball that closely, and, you know, West Virginia is playing Middle Tennessee State, and you really have no idea about either of those teams, then you can click the button and get information about those teams. So that's, their win-loss record, what conference they're in, just some basic statistics.
Because it'd be good to know, I mean, at least when I look at, games, I look at the win-loss and how they compare to the rest of the teams in their conference.
Yeah.
Some conferences have stronger teams than others.
This is true, yeah. Yeah, so I've got that information too. So I'm harvesting all that from elsewhere, and I just get the facts because, I don't want to plagiarize other sites. But there are sites, you know, like ESPN, where there's enough structure that I can access. I've written a script that can go out and can access the facts from an ESPN team page, and then use that to populate the database for the teams for this year. So that actually is one of the things, one of those steps. You know, while you're enjoying your pizza, Earlene, I'll be harvesting.
I'll have a piece for you, Daryl. Daryl, I'll eat some for you.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, got to be sure I'm well fed so that I do this right.
So the show starts at 5 tomorrow Central Time, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. So the safest bet, I mean, if you really want to plunge in later that night, you know, it usually takes me 2-3 hours. But if something goes wrong, then it'll take me a little longer to troubleshoot and, you know, make sure it's working. So usually, you know, Monday morning's a safe bet. And also the play-in games, I should mention, there are 4 play-in games in the tournament. So these games start on Tuesday. And they're not necessarily the lowest seeded teams. I think it's the 8s and 9s now play. Or there's a play-in for either the 8 or the 9 seed game.
I thought it was the lowest seed.
It kind of changes every year. The way they want to do it. It's I've seen I've seen 12 seeds have to play in the play-in. I've seen the lowest seeds, like you're saying, Marty. But it's all that. But that'll be all listed on there.
Yeah, but see, those don't fit in the original 32
no.
page. They
yeah
separate.
So that's where you can fill out your bracket. If you fill your bracket out before those games are played, then you can pick the winner of one of those games. So, for example, like last year, Kansas State and Wake Forest played in a game. They were both 11 seeds, so that was playing for the 11 seed in a particular bracket. And so if you think, you know, the winner of that game, either Kansas State or Wake Forest, might beat whoever it is they're playing, then you could pick, you know, you could fill out the bracket on Monday and pick the winner of the Kansas State Wake Forest game over their opponent. And then whichever of those teams wins, then
that's going to go in that spot.
Yeah, exactly.
In that box, yep.
So, but if you look at that and you say, wait a minute, you know, Kansas State could beat them, but Wake Forest isn't going to beat them. So I don't want to make that choice yet. Then you would be best advised to wait until after those play-in games have finished. So they play those on Tuesday and Wednesday, I think.
Yep. Yeah.
And then, you know, after those games are done, then you can fill out your bracket.
But if you're going to do that, you better get on the ball, because the whole bracket's got to be filled out if you're going to by 11 o'clock on Thursday morning, Central. So.
Yeah, so you don't want to procrastinate.
You got to get on the ball.
You can fill out one question, though, Terrell.
If I could ask one question about the play-in games, let's say you don't pick the play-in games and other people do, then you would be behind the other bracket players if they win, right?
Not necessarily.
Well, two teams are going to win. Two of them will win. You know,
I mean, because like last year, I didn't pick the play-in games, but I never could catch up because a couple of other people picked the play-in games and they were correct, so they were always ahead.
It's just like any other lower seed. And the play-in games, at least last year, it was the 16s, so you're playing for the 16 seed. And when you get to the round of 64, again, no 16 has ever won. So chances are you're not going to – it doesn't matter. You're probably not going to pick the 16 to win in the first round, and so that doesn't matter. But it's those other – the 11 seeds. So the other two games last year were playing for the 11 seed. And in the actual bracket, the 11s play a 3 seed. Mm-hmm. Or is it a 6? The 11s play
a
6.
It's 3.
I think it's a 6 because the 14.
Yeah, 11 plays a 6. You're right.
Yeah,
11. So that's where it could be that if somebody picks that 11 to beat a 6, then they are going to get more points than you if you pick the 6. But that doesn't just apply to the play-in games. That could be any case where, you know, somebody picks a lower seed over you.
The notorious one's a 5-12. That always seems to generate some upsets every year.
Now, Terrell, how long is the bracket available? In other words, could somebody, like, you know, if they don't want to compete but they just want to play, could somebody come in, say, like, after the first round and come in and fill out the rest of the bracket? Or how long is it, like, up to what point is it available?
It's only available for that short window. You do have to fill it out before the tournament starts. And so So from the moment it goes live, say Monday morning, until the tip-off of the first game, that's the time that you have to fill it out. And you can also, on the play-in games, you can change your picks, too. So you could fill it out on Monday, and then if you decide, you know, after you watch the play-in games and one of those teams impresses you and you decide you want to go back and, you know, pick them to go a little farther, then you can go back and change your picks anytime prior.
I like that.
I guess you could pick. You could change it anytime before you get to that round. I would guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Anytime before the tournament starts. Once the tournament starts, you can't make any changes. But up to that point, it's wide open.
Which is the same with any other pool that you would be in, the ESPN, any of those guys.
So once this tournament starts, and you see that, let's say I see, Erlene's teams, the ones that she's got is doing better than mine. Can I? Do you mean to say that I can't go over to hers and say, let me pick one of these and I'll also put that person.
Renee, I'll share my pizza with you, but you can't have my teams.
But if you see, if you see a name from another team or whatever, you can't add that name from that team to your picks because somebody else has it. In other words, only one person can have one name from any given team.
Once they start. Once it starts, Renee, you can't change it.
But you can pick if you look at my bracket before the tournament starts.
Yeah.
If you and I talk, I'm not sure if you can look at my bracket. Terrell can answer that, but you can change your teams until the tournament starts. Once the tournament starts, you can't change it.
Okay, so in other words, I can have ultimately the same people on my teams that you have on your teams. Is that correct? Sure.
That's right. But once the bracket begins, at 11:59 Thursday, I'm saying hypothetically, once the tournament starts, then you can't change your bracket, but you can change it up until that point.
Yep.
Yeah, and we're just to clarify, you're picking teams, so you're not picking individuals on teams. You're picking the teams that you think are going to win. Each game in the tournament.
So the play-in is Tuesday and Wednesday, right? That's what they play.
Yep.
And then Thursday they start.
11:00 Central.
Tuesday and Wednesday are the play-in games.
Right. Yep. And those of us who are the real junkies in brackets were called bracketologists.
Yes. Yep.
And for those of you who are bracketologists, it's actually interesting to go back. You can do this from the Accessible Bracket homepage and review previous year's tournaments. So they're all there. There's a field where you can select the tournament year, and that's live now. You can do that now and go back to an earlier year and look and see, who played who that year and just, relive the memories if you wanted to do that. And this came in handy just a couple of weeks ago because Louisville had to forfeit theirs, right? And they won.
From 2013, yep.
Yeah. So and I don't know how this was resolved. Maybe one of you can answer if it has been resolved. Who is the national championship then? Or who's the national champion in 2013? Did they award it to Michigan, who was the runner-up?
That would have been given the runner-up, wouldn't it?
Are these from professional basketball or college?
College.
College, Renee,
it's college.
Okay.
Well, now she doesn't know. Everybody calm down now. She doesn't know. Yeah, that's right.
So Louisville, because there was controversy, Louisville, who won the national championship, has to give up their national championship. And so this is maybe the only place on the internet where you can go back to 2013 and see the bracket. You can see who played who. You can see all the scores of all the games. And so I went back and traced everybody that Louisville played because I felt like probably they would say, if they're going to rewrite history and say, okay, well, Michigan is now the national champion of 2013 because they played against Louisville in the championship, but there were other teams that Louisville beat. And so they might have an argument to say, well, wait a minute, I could have, if we had beaten Wichita State played Louisville and lost, if they had, beaten Louisville, then maybe they would have beaten Michigan. And so, so everybody all the way back played Louisville kind of has an argument there.
Ooh. Hello, puppy.
Yeah, he got mad.
I think that was a Wolverine that did not like me.
Oh, no.
But, you know, right. If somebody got their championship taken away, if the other team really didn't win, I kind of have mixed emotions about taking it away and giving it to the team that didn't win.
Yeah.
I would kind of look at the score.
You're talking about the NCAA.
If the score was close, if the score was close, then I would say, okay, they deserve it, so give it to them, yeah.
Yeah.
But then, it was because of a coaching issue, wasn't it? Isn't that why it got taken away?
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, in a way...
It got taken because of a scandal.
But, I mean, so that's...
thing.
But that's not fair to the team, unless the team cheated, and I could see it being taken away.
It was more than that, just the coaching, though. I think there was...
So that's why it's not fair to the team to have it taken away.
And if I was sort of wondering, thinking in my mind, if Michigan was awarded the championship now, would they celebrate? Would there be parades in Ann Arbor, for the 2013 championship?
Oh, no. Now, I don't know about you, Terrell, but I'm not out of all the teams, Ohio State is at the top of my list. I won't say hate because we're on a recording. But
you're a traitor. You don't have the Hoosiers there at number one.
I'm getting there. I mean, on my dislike list, Ohio State is at the top, probably followed by Michigan, and then
I agree with you, and then
I like Purdue because I graduated from Purdue. So, I mean, Purdue is probably my favorite fan, but reality sits in, okay? So every now and then I have to, when I'm playing a bracket, I have to pick against Purdue every now and then.
What seed do you think they'll be this year?
They're going to be up there this year, I think.
I think they could be. They may be a two. I will not be surprised if they don't fall to a three, but I think they... They'll be lucky if they get a two.
If they'd won the Big Ten tournament, they'd have been a shoo-in at a two. But I think there's a possibility they could drop to a three. You're right.
That's what I think. But
yep.
And my real concern is that they could get a number two seed, but then they may not make it into the Sweet 16. So I don't know. We'll just have to see. Yep. That might require more people.
Now my team, I guess, now that I understand a little bit, college would be like the Crimson Tide, Roll Tide Roll, you know? You know, and then I guess Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Isn't it Tennessee?
I don't think either of them are going to make it in the men's tournament.
I don't think I've heard that.
Alabama is much better in football than they are in basketball usually. And Tennessee this year, I don't think as much. But since Illinois isn't doing crap, I guess I'm not sure who I'm going to root for.
I don't know if Texas is going to make it this year. You know, they're close, but I don't know. They might get.
Wow. Look,
Joe Lunardi, who's the... The so-called expert at ESPN has Alabama at a 9 seed.
Oh! There you go, Renee.
I didn't think
they'd seed that high.
So, number 9 is going to play...
A number 8.
Mm-hmm. In that particular...
Region, yeah.
Region.
Yeah,
and that's just
East, South, Midwest, or West.
At this point, this is a guy at ESPN who is pretty accurate generally. He really studies the brackets and knows how the committee picks teams, and so he's got a history of picking them pretty well. But it is just speculative, so he could be wrong. But
does he have Nova as number one?
I'm sorry,
Carol,
what?
Does he have Nova as number one?
Villanova, yeah.
Last
Villanova.
I checked, he had Virginia at number one. But that may change with
surprised. Oh, Virginia. Not,
playing no, Virginia Carolina is a good team.
Not, not West Virginia, but Virginia, okay.
Virginia, yeah. They're a good team this year.
Yeah,
that, as the overall tournament number one, but he did have Villanova as a number one seed. Yeah, so there's a number one seed in each region, so four number one seeds total.
Right.
Yep. And then who? And then you just wait, see who the overall number one seed's gonna be.
Where did he have? Last you checked, Terrell, did he have Marquette in or out?
I can check now if you like.
No, they were kind of on the bubble.
There's when I go to the site, it launches audio obnoxiously. So,
well, they lost to Villanova, I think, didn't they, Marquette?
Yeah, they lost. Did.
In the Big East tournament. Yeah, they did.
Then
they were kind of
at large.
And they've been kind of on the bubble all year. I mean, my school, DePaul, is not going to be in there. So
I didn't see if my school's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you'll know officially tomorrow after
5 o'clock. You bet.
Yep.
Yeah, we will.
Well, I want to thank Terrell for coming to do the presentation. I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as I do. And
thank you.
Should we create a bits group, or what do you guys think?
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
It would be.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
So, Terrell, can you tell us about what I would be willing to create the group if that's allowed. What do we need to do to do that?
You just need to decide who's going to create it. Sounds like you're sort of volunteering there, Erlene.
And yes.
So then, I guess there's no reason you shouldn't be able to do it now, but I kind of lock down the entire site when it's not active. And so you can't really do anything now, but as of Monday morning, you can log in. And when you log in, you're presented with a main menu of options. One of the options is to create a group. And so you just select that and then enter, bits probably as the group name, give it a password, and then contact everybody that you want to participate and let them know what the password is. And maybe provide some instructions too for first timers. But I think it's pretty straightforward that if they log in, everybody gets that same menu, and it includes join a group or create a group. And so they could join a group and then enter the information that you provided to them.
So I just provide the password, and then people can join as they wish?
Yeah, the name and the password. So they would have
the
to
name and the password,
know that it's called Bits.
Yeah,
okay.
And you join a group just like joining a session on Zoom.
Okay. Well, I'll post the information. I'll wait till Monday, give you time to get everything in order, and then I'll be posting the information to the Bits email list. And Terrell, once you get the group, once you get the bracket all set up, do you ever have to go in and make changes?
Do I? Like to the code?
Or to the bracket itself, to the fact, remember you mentioned about the facts. Do you ever have to change any of the links or anything like that?
No, not it's live. Usually that's all pretty stable. I do tend to work on it throughout the tournament, just adding new features or tweaking things that maybe don't work quite right. Because it is, while it's live is really the best time to do all that.
Right.
So.
Are there any more questions for Terrell?
No.
When Erlene creates the group, let's say we go in and we join the group, do we also do the picks, or does Erlene do the pick?
No, you do your own.
You do your own.
You do your own pick. Huh.
So a person, they don't have to wait to join the group, right? They can fill out their bracket and then join the group, or they can join the group and then do their bracket. Can it be either way?
I think it can go either way. And I know they can join a group at any time, even after the tournament has started. You can join a group if, you know, you receive an invitation late or find out about a group late or something.
Okay. But, so maybe it's better to fill out the bracket and then join the group.
I would do the opposite because, I don't know, right now it's like my brain is understanding it one way. If I do,
we'll help you, Renee. We won't let you be alone. We'll help you.
And the only thing, actually, once you've joined a group, the only functionality that offers is you can then see your standings within that group. So that wouldn't even have any sort of effect. You join the group and then you're a member of it, but it doesn't do anything until after the first round is over. And then you can log in and you can see, how you stand within the list of other bits players.
Well, can you also see where you stand in the scheme of things, like your 1 million or whatever?
Yeah, well, it probably won't be a million on this bracket, but... But you can see where you are with that. Like last year, 161.
I'm saying you can't see. It doesn't go to national, to the main, I guess, to the overall NCAA.
No.
It doesn't go that far out?
No.
Okay.
It would only be within this bracket. But even though you're in a group, you can see how you do overall within the entire bracket, right?
Right.
Yep. Sure you can.
Yep.
And you can also compare scores. So it could be, you see what your score is within this bracket, and then you can compare that with the scoring for any other bracket if they use the same scoring.
I want to see if I can beat Obama. He thinks he's such a hot picker,
Well, in the past, I actually entered Obama's bracket in this tournament. So you could see that.
Oh, yeah?
You could compare your bracket with Obama's bracket. I don't know if Trump's not a basketball guy, so I don't know that he's probably going to fill him out.
I don't know.
Well, Terrell, I want to really thank you for taking the time you've taken to meet with us to talk about the bracket. And as you can tell, some of us really enjoy the sport of basketball, and we enjoy competition. And we enjoy sharing our technology, and this is a great group. This is a great group. And thank you for the time you've taken to be with us, as well as the time you take every year to do this bracket.
Yeah.
And
yes,
it's just awesome.
Thank you very much. It's very much appreciated.
Great. Yep. Well, I appreciate that you guys who have played continue to play. That means a lot to me. And it's going to be great having some new folks on board as well.
Yeah, we're going to have a convention in St. Louis if you're ever there in July. If you're anywhere near there.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. So, okay. Well, I'm going to go watch North Carolina and Virginia playing in the ACC championship.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks again. And, feel free to join us, and you and I will be in touch.